Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the third Sunday of Lent, 2008.
A reading from the book of Exodus. In those days, in their thirst for water, the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "Why did you ever make us leave Egypt? Was it just to have us die here of thirst, with our children and our livestock?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with these people? A little more, and they will stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Go over there in front of the people, along with some of the elders of Israel, holding in your hand, as you go, the staff with which you struck the river. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock in Horeb. Strike the rock, and the water will flow from it for the people to drink." This Moses did in the presence of the elders of Israel. The place was called Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled there and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord in our midst or not?" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
Come, let us sing joyfully to the Lord. Let us acclaim the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us joyfully sing psalms to him.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord who made us. For he is our God, and we are the people he shepherds, the flock he guides.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
Oh, that day you would hear his voice. Harden not your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massah in the desert, where your fathers tempted me. They tested me, though they had seen my works.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For Christ, while we were still helpless, died at the appointed time for the ungodly. Indeed, only with difficulty does one die for a just person, though perhaps for a good person one might even find courage to die. But God proves his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and a cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself, with his children and his flocks?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water that I give will never thirst. The water that I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I may not be thirsty, or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, I do not have a husband. For you have had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true, the woman said to him. Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain. But you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus said to her, Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when true worship will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one speaking to you. At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was willing to talk with a woman. But still no one said, What are you looking for? Or why are you talking with her? The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, Come and see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ? They went out of the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. So the disciples came and said to one another, Could someone have brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of the one who sent me, and to finish his work. Do you not say, In 4 months the harvest will be here? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment, and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified, that one who sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work. Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified, He told me everything I have done. When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 or 3 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this truly is the Savior of the world. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Brian and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everybody.
And of course, we're going to discuss these readings as we always do. And Dawn, these readings were quite long today, so we're going to have to rush our discussion.
Oh, no.
But did anything strike you as particularly inspiring in any of the readings?
Well, I just love the story in general of the woman at the well, just because I so many times am like this woman and, you know, I'm plodding through my life and, you know, God's talking to me and I don't even realize it. And then all of a sudden my eyes are open. And that's just one of my favorite readings in the whole cycle of readings.
Yeah, I think it's a very powerful reading. Actually, in my first year at the seminary, I think I had to do a paper on the woman at the well. And it was a very fun paper to do. You're right, it is kind of a thing, though, on a spiritual level when you talk about that, the way that a lot of times God is speaking to us, and I'm in the same boat as you, and probably most of our listeners are in that same boat, I think most people are, that God is speaking to us, and a lot of times it's not till later on, and all of a sudden we have this insight and say, oh my goodness, that was God who was just speaking to me.
Yeah.
And so I think that that is a very real story for all of us. And then of course, there's also questions that she's asking him. For me, one of the things that caught me in this reading was there's a line, and I never noticed it before when we've read the story of the woman at the well, because I'm so, you know, overwhelmed by the narrative, but there's a line that Jesus talks about, God is spirit, and that caught me just because I I've been learning all this stuff in Christology. It's where I'm focusing my studies. Of course, Christology, we of course know that God is not just spirit, but he's also a human being. And so that really struck me this time reading that, and kind of a reminder for myself that, yes, God definitely was a human being who came down here in year zero and walked around the earth and everything, but he's also omnipresent and with us today in spirit. And we need to recognize both the humanity and the divinity of Christ. And, of course, when we think of God as spirit, that was something that really struck me in these readings that I'd never noticed for the first time, really, as I was reading this story.
And maybe we should point out that starting this week, with the story of the woman at the well, and then next week we have the man born blind. And then the third week, in 3 weeks, or 2 weeks from now, we have the story of Jesus raising Lazarus. And these three readings put together, they're called the scrutiny readings. And do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Ooh, the scrutinies, yes. There's a, for the people who've gone through the RCIA process, which is the Rite of Christian Initiation for Adults, this is for new people joining the Catholic Church, adults who would be joining, actually, it wouldn't be for little kids, obviously. And these scrutinies are really ways in which the community, we use these readings, each one, there's some different aspect in which Jesus scrutinizes, we could say, another person. And along with that, in the RCIA program, we have these scrutinies where we kind of scrutinize the new people coming into the community. And it's not meant to be a torturous kind of scrutiny or anything, but it's kind of to sit here and see how they're developing spiritually and where their spiritual life is taking them. Are they seeing Jesus more and more frequently in their life? And that, of course, is happening, this first scrutiny. That is the question, is are you seeing Jesus? Do you recognize Jesus being present in your daily life? Do you recognize that was Jesus you were just talking to? And, you know, we use it a lot in the RCIA program, but really it's something that we as a whole community need to scrutinize our own selves. As you and I both mentioned, you know, there's so many times when I don't recognize Jesus is present in my life, and I'm not realizing that it's really God who's working and not myself, and then all of a sudden, you know, you have these moments. But I think that for us, it's important to take these scrutinies. Of course, it's used through the RCIA program, but also apply them to our very own lives. So, of course, today this is, as you mentioned, the first of these series of scrutinies.
I think those three images of, well, this one is water that has light being the one with the man born blind, and then the third one being life. We see those a lot, like at St. Mary's here in front of our pulpit, we put a water fountain, a plant, and a lamp. And so that's our whole theme for Lent, is thinking about life, light, and water. And a few weeks ago, we had an art show here, and we asked our parishioners to create something based on these three scripture readings. It could be photography or drawing or whatever. And it was fascinating to see everybody's interpretation of where do they see God as these three types of things, or their reflections on it. And it was so neat just to watch that, and then to think about your own, how do you find God in these three things? And so it was really neat.
Yeah, I remember you were telling me about that art show, and I'm glad it was a success and everything. And I think that is a good and creative way to get people to ask those questions, because you're right, that's what the scrutiny is really, it's not, you know, about the new people coming into the community so much as it is, too, we need to ask ourselves these questions. And even at the end of this whole story of the woman at the well, we have the line from the people in this, from the Samaritans, and they're saying, "We no longer believe because of your word or your testimony, but we've heard for ourselves, we've had that experience." And really, that's how people come to belief. You know, it's ultimately, we sit here and we talk about our own experience on this podcast, but if our listeners don't have their own unique experience of God, they're really never going to come to true belief just because you and I have had an experience of God. And so that's really an important question to constantly be asking ourselves, is what is our experience of God? How have we seen him? And that's going to be different for everybody, as you pointed out. And I think that's why the art is so powerful, because it does show in a very tangible way, it kind of for us to tell our own story. And as you said, you know, it's all inspiring in the sense that when you see how other people have experienced it, and sharing that experience is a wonderful thing. But it is, I think, you know, a great way to make that experience tangible, both to ourselves, so we can say, now I've found some way to express my own experience of God, but then also to share that with other people. And, you know, you and I do it through this medium of this podcast, and, you know, you do it in your ministry and everything at the seminary. I do it, you know, through my studies. But I think it's also important to use many different ways to express that experience that we've had of God with other people, because different people are going to hear it differently. And hopefully it'll get them to reflect on their own lives and realize their own experience of God. You have that aha moment where they can say, that was God I was just talking to at the well. So I think that that's, you know, really a great theme that you've pulled out here from this story of the woman at the well, and you know the art show. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, you were one of the key people in implementing that art show. Am I correct?
Sort of.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know you don't like to pat yourself on the back too much, but I mean, I think it's such a wonderful idea because it helps us to share that experience mm-hmm. with other people. You know, I wish I could have been there to see that. Of course, I also wish I could have been there for the fish fries on Friday nights as well.
You know, there's a few more weeks left. Maybe you can make it here.
That's right. And one thing I want to let you know, and our listeners know, I haven't actually let you know this, but next week I won't be on the podcast because I'll be doing my deacon retreat. Canon law, which is the church law, requires that before anybody's ordained, they do a 5-day retreat. And so next week I'm going to be doing my deacon retreat to prepare for my ordination, which will be in May. And so I ask everybody to pray for me while I'm on that retreat and while I'm gone from the podcast. Hopefully, Dawn, you'll be able to get Father Mark or somebody on the podcast. Oh, and
but it won't be the same without you, Brian.
Well, thank you. But, you know, hopefully our listeners will be back to hear what it is you have to say, and I'll, of course, try to listen to it once my retreat is over. But again, we hope that they join you next week, Dawn, on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.